Hello, everybody. Come on in. Welcome to our monthly bench coaching call. How's everybody doing? Let me know in the chat that you can hear me. I feel like I'm talking to the ether. All right. Hello, Jean. Hello, Louise. All right. How are we doing tonight? Monday. Monday, and for a lot of us, about to get off work, getting off work, been gotten off work. I was using the restroom just a minute ago, and I was thinking, let's just stop for a minute. Oh, especially you, Sherry, with COVID. Now, don't try to breathe too hard because you might be, a little tired right now. But let's just stop for a second, y'all, and just take a little deep breath. Okay. Maybe even a few deep breaths. You always have your breath. I'm a yogi. I've done some training in yoga. I know Coach Kathy, who's here with me, is a regular yogi, and we know the power of our breath. Y'all can do this while you're driving. You can do this while you're making dinner for the kids, while you're finishing up lunch, Linda, whatever. Just a deep breath can make such a difference. Okay. I am Coach Betsy, by the way. Let me change my name real quick. I am the binge coach around here. I am the expert on binge eating, on binge coaching. And so if you all ever have any questions about binging, I am an Ask Coaches. You can put the my name up in the title of the question and I will get it. You can ask questions here in the Q&A box. I will be looking at that. Coach Kathy is in the chat with us today. Yes, deep breathing absolutely helps settle our nervous system. And some of you all may know that often when we are binging, it's because we are trying to regulate our nervous system with food. And that is okay that we do that sometimes. Sometimes we can't even control it, and that is okay. Okay, so and that's what we talk about being above home base and below. And that's what home base is in the Trusting Your Body course, is our nervous system either being regulated when we're at home base or dysregulated when we're above or below home base. So, but yes, Coach Betsy, Coach Kathy is going to be in the chat. Let me get you up as a panelist, Kathy. I think I just did it. Yes. Okay. Awesome. And then Amy, let's see. I think that you were probably the Amy that requested to be coached tonight. So awesome to see you. Let me do a little bit of housekeeping in here. And then I was going to talk to y'all about something for just a few minutes. And then we are going to do some coaching. Okay, Amy. Awesome. So if any of the rest of you all are interested in getting some coaching on binging, asking some questions in the Q&A, I would love, love, love to answer any questions and coach as many of you all as I can in the next hour or so. Before I start, y'all, I'm gonna get my blanket. Talk about kind of settling your nervous system, regulating your nervous system. Get you a cozy blanket. And actually, y'all, this is heated. It's not heated right now because it's warming up here a little bit in Arkansas, but I love weighted blankets. I call them my comfort items. I have so many blankets. It's not even funny. I'm also a knitter and crocheter, so I'm not allowed to make any more blankets or I have to give them away. But I also have multiple robes, slippers, pillows. Have y'all seen online? I actually don't have one of those, but online they actually have like human dog beds. I swear I'm seriously considering about those. Just a huge bed to just like put in the living room. And I just think surrounding ourselves with softness and warmth because I am cold a lot of the time. I got some circulation stuff going on. That really helps me settle my nervous system and get back into to regulate it, regulation. So Kathy is our expert on nervous system and all that kind of stuff. So she can definitely tell us more about that in the chat. But I am just all about warmth, comfort, softness. Get you a stuffed animal that you hug. Hug yourself, y'all. We're pretty soft and cozy when we actually hug ourselves and touch ourselves. And so I'm just encourage you all to take care of yourself in that way as much as you can. Okay. So, all right, let me now talk about something. Y'all are talking weighted blankets and in the chat. I don't know. I think mine is 15 pounds. It's not, super heavy, but I always loved the, I'm going off on a tangent yet, y'all hear y'all. I always loved, who else loves getting their x-rays done at the dentist because they put that lead apron over you? And I never wanted them to take it off because it just felt so comforting. Okay, I'm not the only one. It felt so comforting. I never wanted them to take it off. Sometimes I've thought about actually asking them if I could just keep it on. And that's why when those weighted blankets came out, I said, oh yeah, that's for me. Because it just really does help to calm me. And Kathy also mentioned just dropping your shoulders, just intentionally dropping your shoulders. So often we're not like up like this, but we're just a little bit up and kind of tense that just immediately thinking about dropping your shoulders can help you all as well. And again, that's something you can do anywhere, anytime. Okay. Yes. So, okay. Weighted blankets, all the things. So let me tell you all a little bit what I was thinking about today that I wanted to just kind of give you all a little nugget to take away today. And again, raise that hand if you want to do some coaching. Amy, you'll be first up. So I was thinking about this concept of keeping foods in the house or not, in terms of foods that maybe we have overeaten, that we have binged on in the past. Corinne talked about this the other, I was listening to some coaching call and y'all, I don't remember what it was. I just press play on my podcast and whatever comes up, I listen to. So, but recently she was talking about how, and actually I have been to her house and been in her pantry and it is quite bare. So she is not someone who keeps a lot of food in her house either. And so I wanted to just kind of think about, and there's no right way. There's no wrong way in terms of whether we want to keep certain foods in the house or not. And maybe as I'm talking, if y'all want to think about a food that you've been wondering whether or not you want to just keep it out of the house, you want to practice having it in the house. But there are also some other options that we can do if there are foods that you want to kind of experiment with. And the most recent experiment I did was with ice cream. I've talked about this in the past, but I still overeat ice cream sometimes. And that's okay. That's not a problem. But I really just got curious about whether I wanted to keep it in the house on a regular basis, or if I wanted to just decide to buy it when I want to have it. So there's several options, and I wanted to kind of talk about that because there's just really not ever a one right way to do this. And keeping foods out of the house sometimes can be right for you. So I don't want y'all to think that you're breaking any kind of rule if you're just not quite ready to keep a food in the house, or if you're never ready to have a food in the house. And so again, just wanted to kind of talk about some options. So number one option is that you don't keep the food in the house. With ice cream, I've really decided at this point, and again, I can change my mind later. I've decided that I don't really want to keep ice cream in the house on a regular basis. I know that I'm going to have a lot of chatter around whether or not we're going to have that ice cream tonight. And I can have it, I cannot have it, but that is going to be an additional conversation in my mind, probably for the rest of my life when I have ice cream in the house. And so I've just decided that, okay, I don't want to just keep it and not really have a plan for it in terms of when I'm going to eat it. And that doesn't mean that I'm restricting myself from ice cream, because I'm absolutely giving myself permission to have ice cream. I actually had it the other night. We went to Cold Stone and just got ice cream. And I kind of like doing that instead of just keeping, you know, half gallons or pints of Ben and Jerry's in the freezer, because again, the chatter. And I'm not judging the chatter. The chatter is all very normal. That's the thing. I normalize the chatter, but I still hear the chatter and normalize it, and you know, and need to normalize it. And I may just not want to spend my mental energy in that way. So right now, I've just decided to not keep ice cream in the house. But some of you all may choose to do that, but just don't be surprised if you have a lot of chatter around it, especially if it's something that, you know, you've overeaten in the past. And so you can keep individual servings. And this is something you can do this for ice cream, but this is something I work with a lot of my private clients on. And by the way, I didn't really introduce myself. I just kind of jumped in, but where I spend a lot of my time in No BS is in working with a lot of you No BS women privately. And by the way, I have got a few open spots. So if anyone is interested in maybe working with me or one of the coaches in private private coaching, send us an email to support@pmetribe.com and I can work with you. But anyway, I work with a lot of my clients on, you know, what foods they want to keep in the house or not, and what would make it as easy as possible to not overeat them. So again, one option is just not to keep it in the house. Another option is to break up maybe something like chips into individual servings, or to buy individual servings. I'm going to use the example of chips. Something I love to eat. Who's with me with the popcorners? Who loves popcorners? Popcorners is something that I love, but if I got a big old bag of them, there's a lot of chatter, and I often have overeaten the entire bag. And so it is worth it to me. And this is what I want you to ask yourselves, because sometimes we're like, oh, well, but you know, the smaller servings of the chips, for example, are more expensive. I was working with a client just a little while ago. Could a few extra dollars be worth it to figure out the relationship that you want with popcorners? I know they're more expensive in the individual bags, but it's worth it to me. So this is where money kind of, you know, moves down on the priority list, because we're just talking about a few dollars here, and really having the relationship you want with certain foods is bigger of a priority. Another thing that you can do, and this is, I was working with a client today on Chinese food. She's going to practice ordering Chinese food. And when she gets Chinese food, she likes to get a lot of different things. And I was like, me too, girl. I like the egg roll. I like the soup. I like the crab rangoon. I like the rice and the entree. That's a lot of food. Could it be worth it, maybe as you're starting to practice eating something like that, to actually just throw away the food that you don't eat? That would cut down on the chatter. Would it be worth it, $10, to build the relationship that you want with Chinese food, for example? So that's another option. I also have been working with several of my clients on these little mini cans of Coke or Dr. Pepper. Yep, those are probably more expensive than the big old 2-liter bottle. But if you're only going to drink one, is it worth it to you? I know it feels hard to throw food away, y'all, but it's also hard to stay overweight and not reach your goals. That's hard too. Let's choose our hard. Let's practice choosing our hard. So I also worked with another client the other day on chips. She decided that when she wanted some nacho cheese Doritos, she was going to put them on her plan and she's going to drive her butt to the gas station and get her one bag, you know, one individual serving bag of nacho cheese Doritos, bring it home, sit at the table and really enjoy them. And then expect urges for more. But she set up her environment to make her successful in not having more. It's not there. So doing all these things, creating the individual servings, not having the food just right there, it puts in a pause for us. And it helps us just, and during that pause, we can actually consider whether or not, you know, we can practice allowing the urge for more. We can practice really asking ourselves, do we really want more food? What do we really need in this moment? Those are the kinds of opportunities we give ourselves when we're not just, you know, giving ourselves full access to the food. Okay, so those are just some ideas on how you can practice just, again, building your relationship with different foods. And I just encourage you to experiment. And here's the deal, y'all. You're gonna still overeat them. Corinne was talking about it the other day. She said, give it at least a few weeks. When you give yourself permission to have things that you've restricted in the past, you're not gonna immediately not overeat them. You gotta give yourself some time. You got to give your body some time and your mind some time to get on board. That's the price of admission to building this amazing relationship that you want with food. Okay. Oh my gosh. I see like a ton of stuff in the chat but I can't talk and read the chat at the same time. So, okay. Kathy's talking about Ken eating dessert. And here's the other thing. I was reminded of something. We got husbands, we got kids, we got spouses who like to keep food in the house. I mean, and sometimes, you know, and we want to let them have their food. But here's what I have said to my husband, even recently. I said, here's the deal, babe. I'm really working on not like eating the popcorners out of the big bag. So if you see me kind of reaching for those popcorners, can you just remind me nicely? Remember, we're working on that relationship with popcorners. Let's get these people that love us the most on board to help us. The other thing I've also practiced sometimes, it's not my food. It's their food. And if I eat it, then they don't get to eat it. That's a thought that's helped me sometimes too. Okay, y'all. That's my thing about that. Let's look at the Q&A and then we'll get to coaching. All right. Anonymous says, I definitely feel like I eat because I should be hungry and not because I actually am. I am taking something that where she doesn't get hungry at all. But I still have the chatter, unfortunately. So if you don't get hunger signals, first off, I just encourage you to kind of question that. And just to really start paying attention that maybe you are having some hunger signals that maybe just are different than you've had in the past, that maybe you're just not noticing. A lot of times our hunger signals are up in our head. Kathy, weight loss drugs. Thank you, Kathy. That's what it is. So Kathy, could you grab the link to the doable hunger chart? I love that doable hunger chart, y'all. It's on the worksheets page at nobswomen.com. And it talks about common, not, you know, everybody doesn't have them, but common hunger and enough signals that are physical. Sometimes we got some mental signals, and sometimes we've got some emotional signals of hunger and enough. And but here's the thing, if you experiment and listen and you still don't feel any hunger signals, Anonymous, then plan your meals. Just plan your meals. Plan 3 meals and a snack, and let's see if you lose weight. A lot of our surgery girls who've had weight loss surgery will do that, especially starting off. Just don't overthink it. Don't freak out or let your brain freak out and tell yourself that's normal. But sometimes we got to just start, y'all, with just planning some food and seeing what happens. Fucking around and finding out, as Corinne would say. That's my new favorite phrase. So, but here's the deal. Sometimes, Anonymous, some people only need 2 meals a day. When you think you should be hungry, I really want you to question that, because you may not be, especially if you spent a lot of time overeating in the past. You just don't need. Most of us, or there's just so much food out in this world. The portions are so big and all of that. Rhonda says, what if you live alone and there's no one to remind you? Get you an accountability partner and or set alarms on your phone. And get you, there's some people in your life, because you can commit to saying, okay, if I find myself eating, I can reach out to my accountability partner and tell her what's going on. Y'all can set up little systems like this. You don't have to have somebody in your house, but you can also set an alarm to kind of just check in with yourself and say, remember, we're only eating when you're hungry, or we're stopping at enough tonight. You can set yourself reminders for a million different things. Okay? So don't use that as an excuse to not find a person. That's what our amazing accountability program is for. Okay, last one, and then we'll get to coaching. I grew up using food as a way to comfort me from the assault of bullies. In a way, it became my best friend. I've worked so hard. I've lost about 85 pounds over the years and kept it off, but still struggle with binging sometimes. Will I ever get to the point where I'm not binging sometimes? Because I binge so much as a kid and young adult, I don't know how to snack. I just binge. I would raise my hand, but I'm still at work. Okay. So the question is, will I ever get to the point where I'm not binging sometimes? I don't know, Amanda. I don't know. I always share with you all what I tell myself is that I may always binge every once in a while, and that's okay. That's the relationship that I've decided to have with binging. Other people can think I will never binge again. That doesn't work for me right now in where I am in my life. It may work for me down the line. That's not, that may not be my story my whole life, but right now I've decided that if I do binge, that I am going to love the fuck out of myself through it and afterwards. Because here's the deal, Amanda. Binging, it had is has is your best friend, or was your best friend. I love seeing it that way, in terms of it was there to care for you. It was there to love you. We never are trying to assault ourselves or damage ourselves or hurt ourselves by binging. We are always trying desperately to feel better, to care for ourselves when we binge. So when that really clicked with me, I was like, whoa, okay, I don't hate myself. I'm not trying to hurt myself. I'm really trying to love myself. It's just that binging is the way that I've tried to do that. And I can, there are other ways to love myself. There are other ways to care for myself. So I really do. I'm really not broken. I really don't, I've just used this coping mechanism, and I want to practice a new one. Okay. All right, let's get to some coaching. All right, Amy, I'll bring you on. Let's do this. Think my sweet husband just got home. I can hear him in there. All right. see what happens. What's going on? Zoom. Keep saying promote to panelist. Oh, Amy declined. Okay, Amy. I'm looking for an Amy who wanted to be coached, but maybe you're in the middle of something. So I'll keep you up and we'll go to Mary. Let's see, we'll go to Mary Elizabeth. Oh, wait, no, here comes Amy. Hold on. There's Amy. Okay. Are you here, Amy? I can't see you or hear you. Let me see if I can ask you to start your video. Ask you to unmute. There she is. Okay, I need you to unmute.
How am I doing?
There we go. All right.
Did we get me? Oh, I'm so proud because I'm so bad with technology.
You
so
got it. You got to,
oh,
you got
good,
to win
good,
all
good.
That.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I had volunteered or actually written in to get a little coaching last week because, of course, I had binged. And you know how that is right after a binge. You don't feel amazing. And all the emotions were raw and everything. But I, since then, I've tried to kind of process for myself what happened. And I guess my question for you was just to let you know what happened and then see if you thought I was kind of on the right track, because my goal is to be part of the group, and I love the support that's here, but also just kind of learn how to take care of myself, to kind of work on these things. So I should preface this with everything turned out fine, but the thing that set me up last week was that I had gotten I had found a lump in my breast, and was having a lot of, you know, and I was waiting for my scanning to see how I was doing. And in the meantime, I kind of was, of course, anxious. And I kept trying to not talk with anybody that I love about being anxious. I was trying to keep it all to myself. I don't want to worry anyone. And I don't want to panic over something that isn't a problem. You know, I had layers and layers of fear, and then anxiety, and then not letting myself talk to anybody about it. And I got pretty uncomfortable waiting for my scans, did my scans, everything turned out great. I'm leaving the place. And instead of feeling, you know, grateful, which I was kind of just even more raking myself over the coals. How could you waste everyone's time? And, you know, that was insane, you know, just really ripping myself a new one. So I had kind of like a, for lack of a better phrase, kind of a shit sandwich of really negative stuff that I see now that I was doing to myself. But at the time, that whole story felt so true and so accurate. And
what specific story felt true?
That I had wasted everyone's time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I finally did mention it to my husband, who is wonderful and supportive. I'm like, look what I put him through. You know, that I was being very, I think my thing was I was being needy and, you know, just demanding of attention. And, you know, I should have known better because I have medical training. I should have known better that I was fine. And like, instead of just being allowing myself to just be plain old, a little bit anxious about a very understandable issue, I didn't even feel that emotion. Like that just wasn't safe or something. I just layered all this really negative self-judgment on top of it. And I just got so worked up that, of course, my lower brain, or whatever we want to call it, primal brain's like, hey, I know how to make you feel better. Let's binge. And then, of course, then I had the, you know, so now we're adding more layers to this thing, like the whole panic. Oh my God, I'm going to binge. Oh no, I can't fight this. This is too hard. And so of course I did. And then I don't beat myself up about it, but of course I didn't feel very good for a couple of days. So that was basically.
Why do you not beat yourself up about the binge?
Because I've learned from no BS not to do that anymore. So, because I used to. But I finally realized that just, you know, I'm still working on this. So that might
But you
still
know how
happen.
amazing it is that you're not beating yourself up about the bench.
It feels a lot better. I mean, obviously I got myself like in quote unquote trouble, or like really did not recognize how spiraling down I was those few days before my
Of
scan.
course
But
you didn't. Of course you didn't.
I think I've made many other improvements, so I'm so thankful for them. But I guess my question for you is, how can I recognize when I'm beating myself up? Like I listened to a podcast a couple days ago now. Corinne was talking about clean pain versus dirty pain. It's like
Yeah.
the clean pain would be like, okay, Amy's a little anxious because, of course, you know, I've actually had anomalies show up on mammograms before. So I've been through this just a small handful of times. And I think we all women can identify that that would be scary. And that would be like, you know, I could get a little TLC from people who love me and experience being a little anxious, but try not to dwell. I just kind of get myself through those few days, but I didn't make that clean pain kind of choice. I made the, let's just beat ourselves up. I don't
But
know
think
why.
about
I
how much
wish I could catch
dirtier,
myself.
think about how much dirtier your pain would be right now if you were also judging yourself for the bench.
That's a really good point. I didn't think of that. I mean, I physically felt gross, but I like got to work on like, okay, let's see what happened. Like, why did that happen? Because honestly, I could not have told you this.
And you may
Like
have gotten,
the
you know,
day
in the
I binged,
past,
it
you may
took me
have
a few
gotten.
days to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, but still,
So,
maybe in
yeah.
the past, it would have been weeks or months, right? We've got to recognize the progress that we are making right now. That's the answer. The answer to your question is
Okay.
keep going. That's the simple answer to your question, is to keep going. And over time, you are already backing it up. You are not judging yourself as harshly or as much or for as long for your binge
No,
as you
I mean, it
yes.
used to be so bad. I mean,
Okay.
you know, yeah, the
So you
recrimination
see
and,
how you've
you
backed
know,
it up
much
already.
better. Yeah.
And if you just keep going and keep practicing, you're going to keep backing up to where eventually, maybe, you're going to judge yourself more. I mean, you're going to judge yourself less rather for kind of, you know, before the binge, right? I mean, and like maybe the binge won't even happen. But
That's
this
my
is
goal.
fair. What'd you say?
So that's my goal. You know, I mean,
Yes.
to
But here's the
try
deal,
to
but I gotta do the little caveat or
nicer.
Little asterisk. We may always eat to try to cope with something.
I know you're right. I mean,
yeah.
yeah, it took a
So,
long time to accept that. Like, I am working on accepting that too. And
and I mean, what you were going through was a threat to your survival.
Yeah, I mean, I kept trying to tell myself, no, it's not. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. But, you know, that did not work at
that is
all.
what we call resistance, right? And as we always
Good
say,
at it then.
what we resist persists, right? You were trying to talk yourself out of resisting, and that was only making it stronger.
Good point.
What
I mean,
you
it
you
was,
can practice
yeah.
in the future is, okay, I hear you. I know that you're freaking out right now. I know that you're, you know, I hear you. Just again, gradually with practice over time, just practicing more and more of just being where you are with whatever it is you are thinking. What was that really painful thought that you told me? Was it like a waste
Honestly,
of
it
time?
was being needy.
Okay.
It's that was not a safe thing to do when I was growing up. To have emotional needs was, and I not to be too Freudian, but I've thought, and this is something I've thought through before, but that was not, it was not permissible when I was a kid. So,
I mean, I think Freud was, you know, Freud knew what he was talking about in some areas.
The
I'm
funny
a
thing
way
is,
back when psychology major.
No,
So, you
oh,
know,
okay, perfect.
yeah.
I am not, but
Yeah,
I
no, I mean,
I
you know,
respect people
everything
who
he
know
talked
those
about was
things,
not,
but
you know, was not, you know, off base, right? I mean,
sure.
it makes sense. So it could
And I
sound
keep
like,
telling myself I'm fine now, though, because like I have so much support. Like this is
yes.
not. Keep telling myself this is not necessary. I have
Well, but
many people that
that
support
is
me.
ju that's still judgment. That is veiled judgment.
Oh yeah, I was definitely doing that.
That's more, that's
You're
resistance, right? That's
catching
more
me.
resistance. That's it. So I want it to sound like, and this is new for most of us. It is for me. I am here right now, feeling what I'm feeling and thinking what I'm thinking. And I am okay and safe, whatever I am feeling and thinking. I mean,
I know you're right. That is kind of, because it's just so much easier to say, cut it out, you know, can it,
right.
shut it
Yeah.
up to myself, you know,
What we know
like
is, yeah.
you're being ridiculous. That's a big one. You're being a big
Would you,
baby.
I mean, this is where we
Toughen
really
up,
want to
you know,
tap
that kind of
into
stuff.
our inner child, right? Would you tell a child that?
Oh, no. And I didn't raise my children like that. And, you
Hey.
know,
So you've
no,
got
not at
some good
all.
practice with your kids, right? And this is where
Yeah.
we think about little Amy and what we would tell her. We wouldn't tell her that it's unnecessary.
Oh, yeah, I did a lot of that.
What she's saying. We wouldn't tell her, you know, this isn't helpful, or this isn't, you know, or you shouldn't be doing this. What would you tell her?
I think I would just say it's normal to be a little anxious, and we could talk about a little bit about the stories where it might not be okay, but there are also a lot of scenarios in which it is. I mean, there's no certainty. I don't like, brains don't like uncertainty, right? And mine sure doesn't, but it's like it's not certain that things are going to turn out terrible.
But
It, it's actually,
you're
they might
using
turn out
like you're,
okay.
I'm talking about like Amy at 5 years old. Even normal, a
The poor
five-year-old is
thing.
not going to know what you're talking about.
That's true.
What would you tell five-year-old Amy? Think about, or what would you tell, you know, your five-year-old child when they were 5 years old?
I think I would just tell them it's okay to feel how you need to feel. Let me hold you for a little while. We did a lot of that. So,
okay. You
you
did,
know.
like, yeah. And this is where you can, have you got a spouse or some, did you say?
Yes.
You got a
He's
husband?
great. He's
Okay.
wonderful. So, yeah.
This is where
I'm
we
very
don't
lucky.
expect them to know what we need, and we ask them for a hug, or we ask them to, you know, hold us. We ask them to tell us something that we need to hear.
Sure. No, that's
Don't you love when somebody just tells you what they need?
It's so much easier to, you
right?
know, read them then. Yes.
Let's
No,
not
you're
try to,
absolutely
let's
right.
not expect our loved ones to read our minds. Let's just, I ask for a hug from my husband several times a week, and he is
Oh,
glad to
that's
give
sweet.
it.
Oh no. And like I said, my husband's terrific, and he was hugging me over this. So, you know, once I told him about it, once I stewed in my own juices for a couple of days, and then said something, and he was really glad I told him. And, you know, yeah, it was really helpful. So,
So
yeah.
I mean, this is where we practice letting these people in our lives that love us the most, letting them take care of us. But sometimes, I mean, we got to tell them what to do.
I think I've identified as a mom so much as the caregiver. It is really difficult to kind of be vulnerable and needy. And needy is like a pejorative word, and I don't really mean it that way, but, you know, not always be the one who's the giver, sometimes needing to.
What could we say? Like, instead of needy, like what?
Yeah, because that's a bad word.
How would you have described yourself during that time, you know, during this time, that could sound more kind and gentle to you?
That's a really good question. I probably need a little help on that, but maybe vulnerable.
Yeah. There are just times in our lives where we're going to be more vulnerable. Where we're going to be.
And I definitely get help when those times come up. I mean, I always do. It's, you know, I'm never left high and dry. That's for sure. So anyway, I guess I was just curious if you thought I'd figured myself out, but you know.
You absolutely, I want you to recognize that progress of being kinder and gentler to yourself after the binge. And this is where, again, you practice kind of backing it up. And how can I be kind and gentle to myself right now? You know, whether that's in the middle, at the beginning, in the middle, before you binge, after you binge, if you choose, you know, if you end up binging. There are opportunities all along the way to be kind and gentle to yourself and to resist a little bit less and just be with yourself.
Actually, I, as luck or unluck would have it, I had to have another doctor's appointment today and found that I do need a different, you know, ultrasound or something. And I could feel myself get back into my car and want to almost literally repeat the same pattern that I did last week. And I thought, oh, I can feel like the cog wheels turning in my brain to start to want to binge over this. And I was like, oh, no, wait, you know what? I can do whatever I need to do. And it could even include that, but hopefully not. I might just need to go home and put my feet up for a little minute.
Okay,
and just
this is happening, Amy. This is already the feel, backing it up.
Yeah, I did
happening.
Catch that today, which was good. And I predict I'm going to be absolutely fine from this next round of things. I just happen to have two things kind of come up at once. You know, I'm in my 50s, so stuff comes up. But I did catch that today, and it felt like not that big of a deal either, which was kind of nice. And I thought, I got to celebrate this, which is also weird for me because I usually won't celebrate anything. So
that's the key to all of this, right?
It is
finding a win wherever you can.
Right.
And I always say, if y'all can't find a win, you just let me know, write into Ask Coaches, put my name in the title. I'll find you a win for today.
Sure. No, I really appreciate it. You've answered a few of my Ask Coaches. I mean, I am trying very hard, I guess I would say, to try to get, you know, get this figured out.
This is happening. So. And here's the deal. Often you don't have to try as hard as you think you do. When you're kind and gentle
so
to yourself,
true.
You realize how good it feels and you want more of that. And so you just automatically start, just like what happened today. Oh,
sure.
Maybe I could put in some kindness and some gentleness right now. I could eat.
I mean,
I love that you didn't resist that. You gave yourself permission
no.
that if you wanted to do that, you could, because we're always going to sometimes want to do that. And I think
I used to not give myself permission. It was just... Permission is one of my biggest hurdles.
You said
and I
it
had
was okay.
So many
you
food
said it was
rules.
Okay that if you did.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, and I actually meant it too, which is so weird for me because I usually do not actually mean it. I'll do lip service to what I'm supposed to do, but I won't actually really buy into it. But I used to have so many food rules too, and I did find that when I took away the food rules and the restriction, that a lot of the binging faded away just simply from that. It's like it left on its own.
Yeah.
Rather than me trying to force it out, which used
I'm
to
telling
be what
y'all
I tried
that
to
this
do.
Is the thing. I mean, when we're forcing, we're resisting.
I know it. You're right.
Right.
I think of it like a Chinese finger trap. The
Yeah.
harder
Yes.
I pull,
Yes.
I know it. The harder I pull.
Well, I am so glad that you're okay. And like I said, you
everything's
are,
fine. Yeah.
You are doing this. You are doing this. This is happening. Just keep going. Okay.
I
keep reaching out.
That. Thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate your time.
All
thank
right.
you so much.
All
okay.
right. See ya.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye bye.
All right, Miss Lori, you're up next. Get you in here. There you are. Hello.
Hey there.
Hi. How are you?
What I wanted to be a coach on, just to give you a little bit of background. So I've been on my weight loss journey, close to 2 years, but got serious about it last January. I've been quite successful. I started off at 465 and I've lost over 175 pounds so far.
Amazing. Did you say 175?
Yes, closer to
Okay.
180 right now, but yes.
Wow.
Anyways, I am a hardcore binge eater. And what I've been struggling with, and I've been struggling with this literally for months, and that is for over a year, actually, I could count the number of binges I had on one hand. So, I was pretty proud of myself and excited with what I'm doing. But oh my gosh, I seem just to be working against myself. And the crazy thing is, so this is really about the psychology part of it, because overall, if I look at the month, well, it's a lot slower. I'm still losing weight, but I'm not happy with my processes. So how it will happen is that I will do well, I make the plan, I follow the plan, and then I will have a binge, and then I reserve, and then I will go back to restrictive eating for a few days to counter the effects of the binge. And that's the cycle that I seem to have
And that's the
gotten.
process that you're not wanting to continue.
No,
Okay.
because I really want. I don't want food or thinking about food to be in my head all the time. And I enjoyed a long period of time without it. And I don't know what's changed. I've done a lot of discovery cheats, and I've done some journaling about it and stuff like that. It's just, oh my gosh. And I'm starting to accept, because the one thing I used to say, I thought I could, I don't know, train myself out of binging, and I realize I'm going to have to live with always the fact that I am a binge eater, and there may be always times that I binge, but it's like I'm so scared, I almost like self-prophecy that I'm going to binge and this is what I'm going to do, and then I can't stop myself somehow. And it's, I'm not sure if I'm explaining it well, but
Well, what I hear might be happening is, and what I hear is that this sounds like it could be very, very normal, that this is kind of coming back. Because what happens when we're really ready to change? And it sounds to me like you're really ready to look at this and change that process of the binge restrict cycle, basically, that you're wanting to kind of, I think of it like a hamster wheel, and you're ready to jump out of that wheel, but you're still going around still. But is that what happens when we're ready to change? Is that resistance immediately comes up, and we do the thing actually more here at the very end before we change. It's called an extinction burst. It's a fancy name. Y'all can Google it or whatever, but it's a real thing. It's actually a lot of times I've found out about it, I think, from my coach that I work with. But it's usually we talked about with like tantrums with kids and things like that, where it's like right before the tantrums decrease, there's a last ditch effort to keep that habit going. And I think that's maybe where you are, is that the binges are kind of ramping up right now. Oops, are you there?
Yeah, am I
Okay,
here?
the binges are kind of ramping up right now because you're at a place where you're really ready to change, and your brain is freaking out because you're ready to change a long-held habit. What do you think about all that?
Understand that, but I guess it's why for almost a year did I not struggle, or did I not? Like, why now am I having so much more resistance? I mean, I go every single day, every single day. I don't even think about anything through the day. I just, like I said, I make my plan, I stay to my plan. But about 9 p.m. at night, and I did write in to ask coaches about this, but I saw that the call was tonight. I thought, I'm going to try to be coached in person.
Awesome.
And I called it the eat me gremlins, because I swear to God, like something comes into my body and overtakes my brain processes. And I can be sitting there. I literally, literally have this ongoing conversation in my head that says, okay, you don't need this. You're not hungry. You know, all the reasons and stuff like that. And then it's like, okay, and the next thought that shows up is like, okay, well, what can I have that's not too bad? And then
so what I hear, just like I was talking about with Amy, resistance. You're resisting that urge. You've even got a nasty name for it with gremlins, right?
Yeah.
You're seeing this as a really, really bad thing that happens to you every night. I see it. And here's the thing. The binging just went dormant for a while, for a year. Let's not try to figure out why.
Okay.
Because that just makes you feel worse because it's come back, right?
Very
true. You know, things just kind of come and go. But this is where you are right now. Let's focus on the present. And these urges are there for a reason. They're there for you. You have an opportunity here to show up in a different way around these urges. Quit calling them gremlins. Quit calling, you know, stop saying how that they take over your body. If I told you that I was going to give you $10,000 if you didn't eat tonight, you probably not be able, you know, you wouldn't eat.
You're true.
You find a way to not eat. Right? You're not totally out of control, right? It's the story that you're telling yourself. So this is where, when you have this, I mean, the urges are going to be there, but what do you want to tell yourself instead? Like, oh, instead of, oh, here it comes again, here come those gremlins again. Cause you're resisting it, right? What do you want to tell yourself instead when that urge comes maybe again tonight?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll help you.
Okay.
And it could also be, I mean, did you have any urges to binge during that year?
I did.
Okay. How'd you handle those?
I had a couple of controlled binges, like planned binges.
Okay.
Think
it might be time to do another one of those?
No, because I don't feel I'm being good enough right now. And so
you think you got to earn a planned binge?
Yes.
No. Wrong. A planned binge for you could be the most amazing gift that you give yourself right now. And you deserve it. I can't order you to do it. I can't make you do anything, Lori. But I want you to do a planned binge, and I want you to come to Ask Coaches and, you know, put my name up in the title and tell me what you learned. And I'm going to be looking for you if I don't hear from you. or tag me.
It's the stupid eating where I eat stuff I don't even enjoy. And it's certainly not to answer hunger or anything like that. It's for eating for the sake of eating.
You it's are like, trying. It's also totally normal as bingers that we eat foods we don't even like all that much. We are trying. You are trying to feel better. You are trying to take care of yourself in that moment. I promise you.
So.
And every time you call it stupid, your brain's going to throw up another urge to eat because it's trying to take care of you.
Oh. That was a light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm. How so?
So the more that I believe that I'm resorting to old habits at the slippery slope, as I call it, all it is doing is creating more and more urge to do it.
Because you are beating yourself down. Sometimes I describe it like we are black and blue on the inside. And binging is a shield. Binging is, again, is us trying to protect ourselves. But the thing is that we're doing the beating up. And we can control that. We can tell ourselves, we can be nicer to ourselves when we have an urge. We can be kinder to ourselves. We can practice that. Right? Okay. Like, this is what you can say to yourself tonight. Yes. Deep breath. Always available to you. What do you want to tell yourself tonight if you get that urge? If those little gremlins come back tonight.
That's where I struggle. Like, the thoughts that come into my head are that are still that I can do better. I've done better. Why are you not doing this? Why are you struggling ahead? Like,
okay. Here's you're going to hear all that. All that's going to come in.
Okay.
Deep breath. I want you to kind of put your hand on your heart. Deep breath. Close your eyes.
Oh, left side.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, somewhere. It really is, by the way, it really is just about touching yourself, right? It's about like getting in touch with just that. Okay. I'm here. I'm okay. I'm safe. And these are some of the things that you can say. And this is recorded, so this will always be available to you if you want to go back to it. I'm just having an urge right now. I'm okay. I'm safe. I'm here.
And I don't need to respond to the urge.
I don't need to respond to the urge that you could. Yes. I mean, if that's what came up for you and that feels okay to you.
I don't need to give it negative airtime is what I'm trying to say, right? I don't need to.
I like to think of an urge as like a nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
Like it's going to knock on the door and it's going to keep, you know, it's going to keep knocking on the door till we open the door and just let it in and let it just have its say. And let it, you know, give us the gossip of the neighborhood and give it a cup of coffee and then it'll go. But we can't, you know, bar the door, right? I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And I know you think that we need to eat right now. We're okay. And then kind of something that you could add on is what do I really need right now? What might I really need right now?
I have created like a list of things I can do rather than eat, but they're just.
None of them are going to like move above food on the top of the list.
You're right.
Let's just, you know, and everybody, you know, and all everybody in the back, you know, hear me on that. Right. So let's not, you know, live in la la land. Right. But still, we got to try something. If we don't want to eat.
So what my brain is spinning on right now, it's about, I'm almost fighting it too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we're sitting here like this, I hear you. I know you're just an urge. I'm safe. That is acknowledgement. You know, acceptance, that is the opposite of fighting, right? Or resistance. And that is new to most of us. So it's not going to feel, this is not going to feel, you know, super comfortable at first. And you still may eat. And that's okay too. It's still a win if you've given yourself just a pause before you eat. That reminds you, you're not out of control.
And that's the feeling I'm so scared of that feeling. I am so
So let's start with, can I sit here for 30 seconds? This is what we call pause plus permission. Can I sit here for 30 seconds and just remind myself that I'm safe. See if I might know what I might need right now. But in 30 seconds, if I still want to eat, it's okay. This is how we unwind binging one urge at a time. We don't immediately go to not eating most of the time. But you have given yourself some control, some space in all of this. Okay.
It is the beat down, and it's right up into, like, when people will say something, because I've been, like I said, struggling with this for months, and people will comment and they'll say something, and I mean, I've even put it out there in the group, and I've had the praise and the saying whatever, and I'm feeling a bit of a fraud right now. Like, I see the loss, and I see the number, and if anybody said that to me, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, that's wonderful, it's whatever. And it's like, okay. But I'm like, almost, I'm 2 years into this whole change myself, and yet I'm still dealing with this resistance. So maybe it's not a matter of fighting it, but living with it.
And I mean, and this journey that we're on never ends.
Yeah, I
Like,
know. I got that book about that. That sucks. I
well,
wanted
just
the end.
let it, I mean, be with that too. Let it suck. But here's the deal. What I tell myself, and we'll end here because we're about out of time, but I know we want all this to be over and we don't want to think about food all the time and we don't want to da, 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 da. But y'all, we want everything just figured out, but that is a boring ass life. So why don't I mean, we think we just want to numb out the rest of our lives, I guess, or something. And it's like, no, I want to spend the rest of my life loving on myself, caring for myself, feeling amazing in my body. And yeah, it's going to take some effort. And it's worth it. It's worth it.
It is worth it.
Is it
Absolutely,
okay?
1,000%. It's worth it.
Okay. I think this is a good place to end because I want you to build off of that. You've
Thank you
got
so
that
much, and sorry I took
very
up so
strong
much time.
foundation. No,
I
it was worth it because I think it was so helpful. Here's the thing, you're not alone. You're not alone in this, and I stayed with you because I think this was so helpful for other people as well. Okay.
Thank you
I'm
so
so proud of
much.
you for reaching out.
Thank you.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. Oops. Let's see. Get you out of here, Lori. And yes, y'all, we are out of time. So if you raise your hand for coaching, please come on over to Ask Coaches. And again, you can put if you have a question about binging, if you want some coaching around binging, I am glad to help. And you can put my name, Betsy, Betsy, in the title of the message. And I'm glad to answer your question. A lot of the coaches also refer binge questions to me. And we do this call every month. So please, next time if you want to get coached, raise your hand right when we get on here and you'll be first in line. So I think it was really good coaching and just a good well, I did good coaching, but what I'm trying to say is that I think it was just two really good coaching sessions in terms of just a lot of coaching and tools that you all can a lot of you all can relate to and can use. And so y'all know the replay will be up in a few days. And so feel free to listen to the replay and refer the replay to your friends. And y'all, we do this every month. And also don't forget the Binge Support Facebook group. So I am in there on a daily basis and feel free to tag me. But I'm always checking in there. So if you have, like, if you had a question tonight or you wanted to get coached, we can do some coaching in there as well. Okay, y'all. All right, guys. Thanks so much, Kathy. I saw you in there. coaching away. So we're a good little team. So all right, guys, have a great evening, and I'll see you next month. Okay.